More we sing that song, the better I like it. Good. Add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control. Perry, could I get you to punch that button back there on the recorder? Oh, did he get it? Didn't see Gary back there. He's tricky. Thank you, Gary. He punched it and ran out the side door. Yeah. All right, now, add to your faith, as I was saying, virtue, to virtue knowledge, to your knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness love. I hope you can do that by now. I hope you're well on your way to being able to repeat that verse from memory. It will help you and serve you well. By now you know that we're on the topic of brotherly love tonight. And we should all know about brotherly love by now. If you've been Christian more than a year, you ought to know a little bit about brotherly love. Brotherly kindness and love are two of the traits, the characteristics that, first of all, have an outward focus. And a lot of these other characteristics we've talked about have an inward or upward focus. Godliness being an upward focus on being pleasing in our lifestyle to God. All these others being an inward focus on how we are in our Christian walk. What's our character? Are we building knowledge in ourselves? Are we adding virtue to our faith and so forth? So tonight we're going to look at that outward perspective of brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness comes from the idea of a compound Greek word, the word being Philadelphia. The city of brotherly love is called Philadelphia in our own country. Philadelphia, in the Greek, is made of two words, phileo and adelpho, or adelphos, meaning love of the brother or the brethren. So Thayer says in his lexicon that the love which Christians cherish for each other as brethren, and that's pretty much what it is. Not that it's always perfect, not that there's not on occasion where our brotherly kindness gets sidestepped and there's issues, but brotherly kindness, by and large, is that family factor. You know, in a physical family, when you were growing up with your parents and your brothers and sisters in the household, the longer you were in that household, the more you got to know those folks, the closer you grew together. Issues, problems, sure, everybody has them, because we as people don't always agree on things. But brotherly kindness, that love factor of brotherliness, kindness in that respect, gives way for repentance and for forgiveness and things along that nature. So it's an important factor in the church family to keep us congealed. Without brotherly kindness, there'd be a lot of issues. There'd be a lot of problems. I don't always make you happy, I'm sure. I'm not always pleasing to everybody that knows me. Believe it or not, there's probably some people that don't like me. I'm not sure. It's possible. I don't know why. Don't know how. But you understand what I'm saying. It's not always a bed of roses where more than two people are concerned. So brotherly kindness is that glue that keeps it all together. Now, let's look at some scriptures. There is a demand for brotherly kindness in scripture. Let's first of all go to 1 John. That's in the back of your Bible, 1 John at chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And in 1 John chapter 4 at verse 7, we have these words. Words of encouragement. 1 John chapter 4 verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." There's a song that kids learn with those very verses in it. God is love. We sing one in our songbook. God is love. And we know that that's true. He showed us his love by sending his son to be the sacrifice for our sins. And Jesus showed us his brotherly kindness by being that sacrifice willingly. If we know God, and look at verse 20 in that same chapter 4, verse 20. "If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. One can't really exist without the other. If I say I love God, then that means I have that brotherly effect with everybody I know. Doesn't mean I always like you. Doesn't mean you always like everything about me or what I say or do. Doesn't mean that I like the guy down the street or my next door neighbor. Love him? Yes. That's that brotherly love. But it goes without saying that God loves us regardless of what we do. Didn't the Apostle Paul say that there's no created thing that can separate us from the love of God? Romans chapter 8. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. I used to say, well, you can separate yourself, but I was wrong. That's one of those times when I spoke before I really thought it out. Not even we can separate ourselves from the love of God. We can do things he doesn't like, and we can take ourselves away from his grace and away from salvation if we do that, but he still loves us. And that's that brotherly kindness. It's hard to separate brotherly kindness and love, these last two characteristics of these graces. John 13, verse 34 is another verse we need to take a look at. John, in the book of John, Gospel of John, chapter 13, and verse 34. John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment, Jesus said, I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, in verse 35, he says that all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. We're commanded and demanded as this brotherly kindness to be the outward showing of our love for God and our love for his son Jesus and to being his disciples. If we say we're a disciple of Christ and we're following Jesus through our life and we're trying to emulate and be like him and we have not brotherly love, that makes us a liar because Jesus was all about brotherly love, brotherly kindness. Now, let's look at John chapter 17 while we're in the book of John, just a few more chapters over. John 17 and verse 20. We find in this that this brotherly kindness is necessary for unity within the body. Not only is it demanded because to know God to love God is to love the brethren. It's necessary to show that we're disciples or followers of Jesus. It's also demanded for unity. John chapter 17 at verse 20. Jesus, during this prayer in the garden, he says, I do not pray for these alone, speaking of his apostles, but also for those who believe in me through their word. He's praying for you and I. And all that have come since the apostles, and all that will come after. Verse 21, that they may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Several times, one, two, three, four times he uses the word, or five times, uses the word one, just in those few verses. Without this brotherly kindness aspect of our Christianity, that unity certainly would have a problem. But it's demanded of us to have this oneness for the purpose of unity and the bond of the Spirit, as Paul would say. So it's demanded of us to have this brotherly kindness. Now, to develop brotherly kindness, how do we do that? I think by now we all know how to develop brotherly kindness is to follow God's demands and commands for us the way we have examples of how right folks treated right folks in the Scriptures. But let's take a look at a couple of verses. 1 John, back in the back of your Bible again, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. We talked about verses 7 and 8 a little bit ago. Let's look at verse 9. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. In this is love, or in this is the love of God, was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might through him live. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. we understand how that worked. We understand that, not because we deserved it, but because of his grace and love and mercy, God sent Jesus to be the sacrifice for our sin, that propitiation effect. If God loved us that much, John says, we ought to love one another. That's just a natural from that state of being loved so much and so well by God himself. So it's a given that if we're going to love God, we're going to have that brotherly kindness toward the brethren. It's required, first of all, spending time with the brethren. That physical family I talked about a while ago, if you were born into a particular family and you never spent much time with that family, let's say at the age of 5 you were taken away from those folks and you never saw them for the next 5 years. 5 years later, you're 10 years old and you haven't had the last 5 years with your family, the chance of having that camaraderie is very, very slim. You understand that? I know you do. As opposed to if you had been there for those whole 5 years. So the longer we're with each other, the more we're around each other, the more we congeal in this brotherly kindness and love aspect of our Christian life. Add to your faith brotherly kindness. It's not something that we're natural to. It's not something that we're born with. It's something, believe it or not, we have to work toward. If not, Peter wouldn't have had to tell us to add brotherly kindness to our faith. You understand that all these aspects and traits is not something that we're given to. Add virtue. How much are we given to being virtuous, being in pursuit of moral excellence? How much are we given to the desire to gain knowledge? You know, a lot of times somebody tells us how something works or that this is about this, and we say, okay, fine, and we go on about our business. Somebody tells us that God loved you, so he sent his son to be the sacrifice for your sins. Fine, count me in, I'm there. And we don't progress in that knowledge of Jesus Christ and really understand what he did for us and what God did by sending his son. So these things that are not natural to our state of being, Peter says, add them to your faith. Brotherly kindness is one of them. How is it displayed? What's the reason for it? It affects our attitude and service toward one another. In other words, if I'm focused on this brotherly kindness in my life, I'm going to address the brethren differently. I'm going to address people out there in the world differently. I'm going to have a different attitude and perspective and an attitude of service. Just like we're talking about, and this is so important, maybe I can't stress enough, this singing project we have coming up. If only through brotherly kindness you show up, that's a biggie. That's a biggie. If that's the only reason it brings you here for those 5 nights of that singing school, that's the right reason. Now, anything else on top of that is icing on the cake, as they say. It's a learning experience for all of us. But brotherly kindness and concern for the betterment of the body, that ought to bring everyone here for those 5 nights. As best we may not be able to make it 5 nights. But that ought to be the focus, and that ought to be the desire of everybody here. It's to uplift and help the brethren through that attitude of brotherly kindness. I want to shorten the lesson now because we took so much time up at the front for announcements, but this again, I can't stress probably enough that this brotherly kindness is a learned trait. We have the propensity to love. We have the propensity to be kind. We're about pleasing people, and some of us are about pleasing people more than others. But this attitude or idea of brotherly kindness is something that's learned. And it's something that is demanded of us. It's something that we need to show forth. And if for no other reason, then that's how others outside the body know that we belong to Christ, that we belong to the Father, that we're his children. Now, a lot of people out there claim to be his children, but they surely don't show it, do they? Now, let's always be about showing forth this brotherly kindness to everyone, especially those in the household of faith. That's your lesson. The song that's been chosen tonight for a time of encouragement is song number 908. There's a stranger at the door. He ought to be no stranger to any of us gathered here tonight. But at the same time, if there's a calling on your heart to respond to this invitation, this time of coming to make something known to the congregation that through brotherly kindness you need some assistance with, that's another facet of our brotherly kindness. So as we stand to sing together, won't you come?